like, guys.
Kick it off.
Fire away.
Haven't talked to you since you got a new quarterback.
Right.
What do you like about Mike? What attracted you to him throughout the whole process, really?
Well, I actually kind of go pretty far back. I was in North Carolina when he was playing, actually. Was exposed to two guys there. A good friend of mine was the head coach at NC State, and both Russell Wilson and Mike Glennon were coming through during that period of time. So I got exposed to them, really even watching games and kind of following them and obviously evaluating both of them coming out. They were different schools then, but so I had a high opinion of them then. He was talked about a little bit even before this year. As a potential guy to get. And then this year, being free without any kind of compensation, we dove in pretty good and feel good about it.
What about his skill set?
Some people talk about his, obviously, his height. Like when I was in Denver, we had 6'6 and 6'7 quarterback. So I actually kind of like a tall guy. I think Mike's a little more athletic than people give him credit for, just because he's tall. He's accurate, make all the throws, strong arm, and a really good guy. All the research we had has been very positive from a lot of people I respect.
This will be the first time that he'll go into a season as the proclaimed starter.
Right.
What's the hurdle for a guy like that in terms of just being?
No different than the first time for anything for anybody. It's a leap of faith, to some degree. But I think you do that, in a lot of different positions and evaluation of personnel and people. So. The big thing with him is he has been in NFL football games. He has been around a lot of systems, around a lot of different players and personalities, and I think handled it well.
You have a reputation for being a player's coach and having good relationships with those guys. Are you surprised that Jeffrey didn't work out the way it did? And just getting to know him?
I wish, Alex and nothing but the best. Never had any issues. I'm talking about just our relationship. It's a business, and sometimes it comes down to opportunity and, even contracts, in some instances. So I wish him nothing but the best. I appreciate the efforts he gave, me personally for 2 years and the Bears organization.
I don't want to use the word replace, but how do you compensate when you lose a talent like that? How can you compensate?
No different than a lot of decisions. There's different things that get said. A guy like Matt Forte leaves the Bears. You make decisions, based on that leap of faith, and it'll be no different, in this instance.
John, as a head coach, what are the challenges of making such a clear change at the quarterback position, just in terms of selling the rest of the locker room or things like that when you make a change like this?
Well, I think guys earn that. I think individual players do. How guys prepare, what they do. Mike's already contacted a lot of our skilled people about, getting together and throwing and, getting more acclimated to the offense. And, those are things they have to do all on their own. Just kind of the guys' makeup. I think guys some guys have that it, and I think everything I've heard and seen and been around, I feel good about that with Mike.
Are there parallels to the Jake DeLome acquisition you had earlier in your career here?
It wasn't a big splash, a big name. I mean, he was the backup in New Orleans, but we had competed. I'd seen tidbits, way smaller tidbits even than Mike. But there's certain things you look for and evaluate, and from that aspect, he's not this huge name. He's not like getting Peyton Manning. It's, there was a lot of ifs even on that acquisition.
Yeah.
It wasn't a slam dunk. There was a guy 6 months earlier didn't know where his arm was when he put it behind his head. It wasn't as automatic as people think, but you do your research, and anytime you're dealing with people, it's a little bit of a crapshoot.
You guys had so many injuries last year. Mm-hmm. Tried not to make an excuse of it. can you outline any changes you've made in an effort to?
Yeah, I think, you know, really, Brad, you do everything. You know, I mean, every season as far as evaluation, whether it's of your staff, whether it's of statistics, whether it's, you know, there's so many things to research. Obviously, the injuries are something that, you know, we've looked very hard. And to be really quite honest with you, we had some injury issues even in the first year. They were a little bit more soft tissue, a little bit more practice-oriented. We did a lot to improve the fields. We did a lot to improve how we practice. We actually did a lot more adjustments. And then this year, it actually got worse. So, you know, we kind of go back to the drawing board. And, you know, our league does the research. We do it. So we've done quite a few things that we've looked at. It's been a collaboration of, you know, whether it's the strength coaches, assistant coaches, you know, practice techniques, which we actually dropped our injuries in practice this year, but we got more catastrophic injuries in games this year. You know, broke leg, broke, you know, arm, you know, broken bones. But you still evaluate it and do everything in your power to try to correct it.
Any idea how to cut down the high ankle sprains, which were?
You know, again, there's a lot of shoe research, a lot of helmet research. You know, we spent a lot of time in these meetings. You know, tape, no tape. There's different devices that you can wear, maybe other than tape. There's some theories out there by taping your lower ankle when there is a forcible blow, it can affect the high ankle because something's got to give. So there's just a lot of different things that we're looking at, you know, educate our players and, you know, hopefully turn the tide.
When it's come to practice, you've said a bunch of times to us, like, in order to play football, you got to practice football.
Yes, yeah.
When you look back at training camp a year ago and then ahead to training camp this coming year, what did you see in that reflection in terms of the intensity, the sort of what you wanted to build towards with the rigor and how strenuous some of those?
Well, a couple of the things we've done,
were,
you know, really dealing with some of our sports science people is, you know, kind of more of a 2 days on and then a soft day. So, you know, actually having time to recover. You know, we're not going to work against anybody this year. Just because from a scheduling standpoint, you're not at camp near as long as you used to be. You know, I'm not going to get into, because we've all talked about, you know, we've gone from 16 to 15 to now 9 weeks of off season, and then we do something that's a little different in any sport, is take a 6-week vacation and then start your season. So just kind of adjusting the science of that, how to deal with it, how to best utilize it. You know, back to the camp, you know, we're not, you know, we're breaking before the second game now instead of used to be before the third game, so you're not as camp as long. And then, you know, if you travel to work against somebody, you're uprooting, you're getting out of routine, you're getting out of your recovery system. You are traveling, and that's proven to be a little bit hazardous to your health. Albeit part of football, you know, I mean, if you don't have to do it, then avoid it. So even to that point. Mm-hmm.
John, we do put this to Ryan about naming Mike your starter.
Yep.
Now, you talked about competition everywhere. Mm-hmm. As a coach, does that apply to – do you not want to have a quarterback competition? Does that apply to teams?
You know, call it what you want, but, you know, you're always pushing the guy in front of you, you know, and you want to build that type of competition, you know, in the culture of your team. So, you know, you have to start somewhere, and, you know, a guy has to feel secure in that. You know, actually, you know, sometimes that might work against him if you don't make those judgments. But there's no doubt he'll be our starter.
Can you go back to Mike for a second? You said you do your research on him, mm-hmm. and we missed the beginning. When you did your research, what is it about him you like the most?
Well, I think, you know, whether it's game opportunities or even, you know, just how guys prepare. I mean, we have a slogan in our building, you know, you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. You know, and at the quarterback position, that's a, you know, decision-making is critical, you know. You know, part of the reason, not the whole reason, but part of the reason, you know, a team can have a poor record like we did is, I mean, we had three different quarterbacks win games for us this year in our three wins. There's not a whole lot of teams in the league that go through that have success. You know, that's over a 16-game regular season schedule. In Mike's case, you know, I think he's been steady, he's been consistent. He just hadn't had a lot of opportunity. But everybody that, you know, I've known has been around him both in college football as well as pro football, you know, people that I respect and know pretty well, feel really good about him moving forward.
John, you had significant changes on your staff this offseason. What kind of period of adjustment would that be for you?
You know, I think, you know, we brought a whole new staff here 2 years ago. You know, I think, you know, anything time things are new, but, you know, some of these were, you know, and every assistant coach different. Some guys go on one-year deals. Some guys sign multi-year deals. You know, at the end of the day, just like on a football team, with players, you know, they're going to change. You don't stay the same. But, you know, we feel like we've hired really good coaches and think we've improved there just like, you know, every single move we've made on the roster right now, you know, the plan is that we've gotten better.
Sean, getting back to the medical thing a little bit, you've been doing this for a while. Have you ever had changes? Is this the most drastic of the changes from year to year for you guys? And how have you learned over the years to change your approach with the game changing too?
Well, I think, you know, and again, it's not going to change, but what has changed is I think, you know, some of the off-season rules are starting to catch up. You know, I think some of the rules in college football are starting to catch up as far as the NCAA work week. The game's getting bigger, stronger, faster amongst all that. So, you know, some of it's the design of it, but it's not going to change for some for a bit now, I think 4 years. So you have to learn to deal with it. And so I think that's the adjustment that I know for me personally that, that we've worked on.
And is this the biggest adjustment you've made in an offseason?
Not really. Like I said, we made a lot of adjustments from our first year here to this year. So you're, you know, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, whether it's techniques, trends in the game, strategy, a lot of things change.
And you said you won't play a team in the preseason this year?
No.
Or you won't in camp?
No.
Is it difficult to place expectations on Kevin White this year?
You know, I think when you do this for a living, I don't think anybody has higher expectations than you, yourself. I would include Kevin in that. So I can't tell you everybody on the planet's expectations, but yeah, I know they won't be greater than his.
John, knowing him the way you do, obviously it's a very unique situation to be a top 10 pick, to be wired to succeed like he is and driven,
right,
and to have to wait essentially 2.5 years to get that opportunity. How do you sense that he can channel that in the right direction and not let the impatience take over?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot goes into it. Obviously, it's not a great start for his career. I think he understands that greater than anybody because he's been the one that had to deal with it. And those were, you know, especially the first one was very serious and it was extensive. You know, virtually lost his whole rookie season. You know, and then, you know, he was just kind of getting back into form and unfortunately, you know, had the other lower leg or other bone, your lower leg injury. And so I'm sure it's been frustrating. It's been frustrating for, you know, anytime anybody's injured, it's frustrating for everybody, whether it's fans, the organization, the coaches, the player himself. But I think, you know, he's a very resilient guy. You know, one of the big reasons why we drafted him, I think his makeup, you know, will prevail.
You think you see a big jump year one to year two for Leonard, who did some really exciting things as a rookie, and but at the same time looked a little, you know, raw. You could see him as a rookie. Do you really see him?
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think so. You know, I think with all of us, I think in year one of any job you do, you know, there's a learning curve there and an adjustment. The one thing that I've seen over years is, which is unique about Jordan Howard is, you know, people talk about the rookie wall and really what that is, I think I've mentioned this to you guys before, but I mean, basically you're going from training for the mile your whole career and now you're going to the 2 mile and you haven't experienced it yet. And that wall is, if you've ever run any distance, there is a wall there when you all of a sudden, you know, they say, okay, now you're going another mile here. You thought it was only going to be 1 mile. Well, you know, when you play a 12 or 13 game schedule, and now you go to a 20 to 24 game schedule, it's a big leap. So it takes a year to, in my opinion, to really maximize that just from a physical standpoint.
When you look at your defense now, zoomed out, you know, it's gone through 3 weeks of free agency, on paper, at least how the roster stacks, what do you see? Where do you think you guys are better, and how can you
push
forward?
Well, I think
here?
One of the areas that, you know, we spent 2 years basically flipping this roster. And I've mentioned this before, and you know, from the oldest roster in the National Football League to now one of the top five youngest. And check the stats, I might not be exactly right on that, but you know, we've been subtracting. I mean, even last year with, you know, changing guys out like Matt Forte and Robbie Gould, even that's erasing. So now, finally, I think we're in a position where we can add. Not that we've not added anybody over 2 years with the draft or free agency, but you know, when I said we're finally in striking distance, you know, I think some of the acquisitions we've made this offseason already in free agency, we've addressed our secondary, really hadn't done much from that standpoint prior to, whether it was in free agency or really, you know, currency in the draft. You know, I think those are areas that, you know, we're not done yet.
Yeah.
You know.
If you had your choice, it's a freebie, you can pick any one spot. What's the one unit or the one place on the team right now where you'd like to most address adding more competition?
Well, I think, you know, really skill spots. You know, I think, you know, a guy that nobody's really talked about much is a guy like Deion Sims at tight end. You know, we lost, you know, a proven tight end last year in the offseason and really didn't address it, you know, whether it be in the draft or not. Something that we did early on this year with Deion, and that, you know, a real wide tight end, a guy that can block, a guy athletic enough and has good enough hands to be a threat in the passing game. You know, regardless of who your quarterback is, you have to have some playmakers around, whether it's third down or, you know, we had a lot of explosive plays, so by design what we're doing is good, but, you know, we didn't get any long touchdowns, you know, and those, you know, those are critical in close games. You know, I don't know if you guys heard a lot about from the league, but you know, this has been the smallest margin of victory in our league for quite some time, and we were in a lot of those games, whether it was 2 years ago or this year. Well, how that happens is in the fourth quarter, you have to have guys that make plays, whether it's on the defensive side, offensive side, in the return game. So you need some of those types of playmakers and explosiveness to do that. So I'd say, you know, the wideout position, you know, I think one of the pluses of last year is, you know, some critical areas. You know, we were sixth in the league per rush. A stat we keep is, you know, we keep yards after contact for our backs and people with the ball, but we also keep track of yards before contact. I think we were second in the league in that. You know, so our O-line has improved. You know, we were eighth in the league in sacks per pass, all right? I'm not saying we were a passing juggernaut, but, you know, pass protection was much improved. So those are areas that I think are pretty good. I don't know if we've got the offense yet or defense yet, but in the passing game, getting more explosive plays as far as the result in touchdowns, you know, and the execution in those areas, I think people that can make those things happen.
Ryan said that you guys both talked to DeAndre in the last couple of days. What's the message from you to him?
Well, I mean, you know, anytime you see something that, or you get that phone call from your security people, obviously very disappointing. You know, it puts us all in a bad light. But we're still sorting through information. That's where it is.
What was his message to you?
You know, again, like most people that make mistakes and they're very remorseful. You know. As I talk to people all the time, I mean, look, you try to not make mistakes, but the reality is you do make them. We all do. First thing is you got to admit it. And so he was very humble and, regretful, all right, in that decision or that mistake. Then you got to try to, you know, eliminate it and do everything you can not to let it happen again. And only time tells that.
Ryan also said that been thinking about playing him at safety or getting some work there. How can he help you making that switch?
Well, I think, DeAndre's has all the size capabilities. He does have good ball skills. I think he's a smart football player, has good eyes. And I just think with the way our roster is right now, it's probably the best spot for him to start the 2017 season.
You've seen Marcus Wheaton, obviously a new guy comes in, adds a little different dimension. What intrigues you about what he offers?
Well, I think, some of that explosiveness I'm talking about, he has. I think he's a really good teammate. He's first in, first out kind of mindset, in the preparation. Unfortunately for him, he got hurt last year. He got mostly slot work 2 years ago. He was a guy we had good grades on coming out, and he was a good value for what we think his ability is.
When you have so many new, I think you guys have 11 new faces in free agency that you've added to the team, how long does it take you as a coach to get a full feel for that big of a group of new faces and what they are?
Well, I think it takes, great discipline, to not jump out for big names and, we've said it many times. I mean, we really think you build the draft. I think you can help yourself in free agency in different ways. My experience has been people and have some kind of experience or past with, are kind of important. And most of the guys we've signed, there's been that element, not 100%, but 80%.
How quickly do you know what you have in those guys? When do you usually feel that?
Well, you never really know until you go on the date. But I think, and then it's not usually the first date. All right, but until you really get them in there.
Yeah, I say keep going with this. Keep going with the metaphor.
thought you guys might relate. But you have it's like everything. I mean, you have a pretty good idea because of that. Knowledge that you have, and it may not be everybody in the building, but somebody has some kind of exposure and what kind of guys they are. And believe it or not, for a 3-13 team, we really do have a good locker room and a good culture. Now it's just a matter of getting better.
When you self-scouted at the end of last year, we talked about run-pass ratio, not just isolated on that, but you just ran through a number of the things, how good you were running the football. Mm-hmm. As you backed away from it and self-scouted when it was all done, were there philosophical things that you didn't, we should have run the ball more, we blitzed too much, were there things you spotted in that weren't the way the team, a team that you want to coach would operate it?
Well, the real reality is we didn't have a lead enough, all right? And so when you play from behind versus you play from ahead, we are in a timed game. It's not innings. There's a time element to a game. It's like playing catch up, and it's not the ideal position to be in. Really, that's been a big factor. We were last or tied for last in the league in turnover ratio. I don't care how talented you are, that doesn't work. Part of that is when you're playing from behind, you take more risk and sometimes they bite you. So, really it's just we have to start better, start faster, and do better, get the lead. And I think you kind of get that when you get better.
Is there an emphasis for Leonard to come in stronger, or is that?
A lot was made of his weight, probably too much. I think maybe somebody said it and it kind of snowballed. This league's about playing strength. It's not just size, but he didn't have an issue with playing strength. Like I said before, he's going to develop. I mean, he's a professional athlete now. He's not going to biology or, social science or whatever course load you take now. He's going to train year-round now. Really curious to see him when he gets back, when we can see him again, which is not too far off now. But we expect all these guys to grow and mature, whether it's just as young men and physically.
With your pass rush overall, I think sack per pass attempt was high up there,
yep.
But you guys don't have the interception production on the back end with it come together. What do you think overall of that area of the team, where it stands, who you like, but maybe what else you also have to accomplish?
Not that we're a finished product by any stretch. I think it's an area that I've always been of the belief that the best pass defense is the best is pass rush. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different coverages, there's a lot of different schemes, but at the end of the day, when you're putting pressure on the quarterback, and not just sacks, pressuring the quarterback, you know, put stress on him to make errors. You know, I think we still need to improve in that area. I think we have improved, but we still need to improve.
It seems like with Leonard, the bigger concern is weight now, maybe two concussions as a rookie. Is there anything as coaches or as an organization you guys can do to, I know you can't prevent it, but to prepare for it? And to,
well, yeah, you
do
can.
Do you look at it as a concern?
No, it's definitely. You know, I think in Leonard's case, you know, in college football, they don't have the restrictions we have as far as when you can practice in pads or not. You know, I think with Leonard, I think we just have to create more tackling drills without pads because we do have restrictions on how much we can go in pads. So we don't live tackle as much as they do in college. So with him in both of his concussions, we're, you know, dropping his head and actually running into our own people. In fact, it was the same guy, all right? And he's not going to win that one. So it's more habits, skill set. So, you know, I think, you know, that's, again, part of the injury thing. It's something that we're going to do a better job of as coaches.
So you'll have to kind of consciously watch him more closely now that you've seen it.
Well, I was just training him not to drop his head.
Right. But, yeah. Well, but I mean, even if it doesn't happen from dropping his head, it seems around the league like some of these guys, when they have multiple concussions, that they come quicker.
I think they're different types. Mm-hmm. And, again, I don't want to profess myself as a doctor, all right, but, you know, just from watching football for a long time, whenever you drop your head, and you basically concuss your spinal cord. You know, it's not safe, good football. You wouldn't teach your 11-year-old kid to tackle that way. And again, it's just building habits. And, you know, we need to do a better job.
This is kind of a bigger picture question, but when you took this job, it all kind of came together really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You allowed yourself to kind of sit back after 2 years and say, oh, this is – you know, maybe not where I thought we would be, or maybe it is. Was this a bigger rebuild than you thought it would be when you took that job?
You know, you do always look back. You know, obviously there's always things that, in hindsight, you would change. I think all of us sitting here would look back and things we've done and consider that. You know, I think... really, at the end of the day, it's kind of been what I thought it would be, other than, you know, I would have thought we'd have done better to this point. But I kind of still feel really positive and encouraged where we're heading. I just saw it happening a little bit faster.
What gives you the encouragement?
Well, I think, you know, as you reflect back and you understand this league, there's not too many teams that, other than if they have the eraser, are really consistently good. This league is like this every year. If you just look back a year ago, the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC played in the championship game. They dropped. The Dallas Cowboys were 4-12. I think they were 13-3 this year. So it can fluctuate very quickly and very fast. And you know, I'm encouraged.
When you guys brought Reuben Randle in after he was out of the league for a year, what appealed to you guys about him?
Again, you like visiting people and talking to them. I think, again, there's some kind of experience with them by somebody in our building. And we feel like, you know, it's a plus and a value, right, to help our football team.
Brian spoke with optimism about Cam's future as a receiver and mm-hmm. felt like he really can just see a breakthrough coming. Obviously, you've seen 2 years of kind of diamond in the rough guy coming to his own. What's next for him? What's the next step in his
life? You know, just continued improvement. You know, I think, you know, he came in as a college free agent. Actually, was at our local pro day. We stayed in touch with him. It was competitive of getting him even as a college free agent. There's a maturity level, and I think he's grown. And he had opportunities even his rookie season, and he got more opportunities this year, and he took advantage of them. I mean, if you really look at it, he was probably our best receiver this year.
As an old DB's coach, how is safety a different position today than it was 10 years ago?
You know, I think obviously the league has shifted towards passing quite a bit. I think largely because a lot of the rules of the game, for a long time there's been more yards per pass than more yards per rush. So because of that, you don't need, in many cases, a big banger box safety. When I was in the New York Giants in the late 90s, my safeties were 6'3", 220. Now people are going no backs. Obviously, it's not going to be a run. So you're covering, specialized backs, specialized tight ends. So you have to be more corner-like to play safety as far as coverability, range. Defending passes way more than runs.
And you guys have been lacking that in 2 years, the coverage ability at safety. Mm-hmm. Is it safe to say that it's important to get that short up the way the league is?
Yeah, I think, that's what's encouraging is, about the striking distance thing I've been telling you is, we can finally address it.
What's your thought about this new hybrid safety linebacker position? Are teams just doing it because they have no choice, or is it kind of a neat new option for a defense?
Well, I think, what's been kind of the trend is speed and speed on defense. The more speed you get, it's not easy to find a Von Miller, who's 250 pounds and runs 4.5. To stay at 4.5, you're having to get smaller people, and there's more of those guys available in later rounds. Typically more in a 4.3 defense where you kind of have a second strong safety or that will linebacker, it's a little bit better fit than, say, in a 3.4 because of the job description. Even saying that, we took Thomas Davis with the, I think, 8th pick in the draft in Carolina. He was a hybrid safety at Georgia / he started off safety, moved to will linebacker, and he's still playing at a high level. But those type of guys, we drafted him so we had somebody on the field that could catch Mike Vick. When he's scrambling around and we could spy him. But if you're going to spy him, you better have a guy that can catch him. It's a little bit of a trend. Plus, your fourth down people, you want speed in those units. And we have guys even on our team because we play so much 4-3 anyways, because you play so much sub defense or nickel defense. You have to have speed on the field, and we've gotten faster. We're just not there yet.
Are you surprised Cutler doesn't have a team?
I am a little surprised, to be honest with you. Look at the guys we played with last year. I know Connor got hurt early, not counting him, but in the regular season, two of those guys have signed, and one of them hasn't. I can't speak for the whole league, but I'm a bit surprised.
When you look across the league throughout your career at mid-round quarterbacks who have succeeded, mm-hmm. is there a trait that maybe sticks better for the mid-round type of guy who's maybe not the total package, but a trait you can really work with, a trait that over time seems to rise to the top out of that group of guys who aren't maybe highly touted?
We spend a lot of time measuring, height, weight, hand size, arm length, 40-yard dash, 20-yard dash, 10-yard dash, short shuttle, intelligence off of the Wonderlic, mm-hmm. Personality, but it's really hard to measure, a guy's leadership ability, a guy's ability to inspire people around him. I think as I look back, this is just me looking at people, and I've seen a lot of quarterbacks in 28 years. I think if I had to pick a trait, it would be the ability to inspire the people around him.
How do you feel that out when you can't measure it and you're just sensing in it?
Well, again, you know, you do research. And, Russell Wilson, everybody talked about how short he was. Everybody talked about, he can't see, blah, blah, blah. My experience having watched him for years was he's going to be successful. Jake DeLome. I mean, he wasn't the prettiest guy. Bernie Kosar, we were in the division with him forever. Bubby Brister played for us So anyways, it's just guys that, have something. Jim McMahon. I'm not saying he's probably the most prolific passer in Chicago Bear history, but, I think he inspired his teammates. I'm not saying all the skill set is perfect, but, that's just been my experience. Jake did that very well in my time in Carolina.
It's one of the things. One of the things you like about Sanchez, maybe not the ability to inspire, but the ability to round out that room
his experience. I mean, you're looking at a backup, much like when we signed Brian Hoyer last year. I think Brian, as a backup quarterback, came in and did a good job for us.
How do you get to know him in 1 day, 2 days before you decide whether you want?
Well, no, I think there's a history. I've competed in this league for a long time.
Sure, right.
You get to know people, you study people, that's what you do for a living. He's been in two AFC championship games. A guy that, had his time as a starter, went to a club a year ago that, I know their head coach very well, and did a great job, being a good guy and a good teammate. Been in a backup role and helping the starter and a young guy, Dak Prescott.
John, I've been curious for a couple of years. It had nothing to do with you before you got here, but Bill Emery told us the tipping point for him on drafting Kyle Fuller was the Georgia Tech game. He played an in-the-box safety and had 3.5 sacks.
Right.
You guys don't seem to have any interest in trying him at safety. I'm curious why that is.
Well, I think, I wouldn't say that. We're trying to get him healthy. I mean, he didn't play one snap for us last year. There's reasons for that. And we're trying to rectify that, just to get him where he can play football, and then decide positions. We really had, 1 year and it wasn't even a full healthy year, a year ago. I mean, he didn't play one regular season snap this year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not saying we won't, mm-hmm. All right, but we need to get him, healthy and physically able to play.
John, one of the silver linings, if there is one, of being 3-13 is you get a top 5 pick.
Yep.
Knowing what this draft class offers, what are your thoughts of what you can come away with that from that first night of the draft with?
I mean, we're going to get some good football players. It's, I hate trying to define drafts, but it's a deep draft in many areas of our needs. And so, and that's just not in the first round. We have 7 picks currently, and we'll have to choose wisely.
What about that top overall pick, though? What do you see there in terms of the elite talent?
Well, I'm not going to.
But in terms of what you can.
We're going to take this guy. Yeah,
well, if you do that, we can just get it out of the way.
Yeah, no. You guys will have fun with it, I'm sure. Like I said, I think, it's a, we'll get to improve, and. We still have a lot of work left to do, and I have a lot of confidence in the guys we have making those decisions, and we'll go from there.
What'd you think of the Super Bowl?
Very entertaining. Not all of them are. I've been a part of a couple. one pretty entertaining. Like I said, anytime there's a good game, I mean, it was exciting.
You didn't think it was over?
Nope.
No one who was on the
Well, the difference is, when you've done this for a long time, even at 28-3, they pretty regularly score 28 or more. I mean, it's not like, they're this grind and burn, can't score. And I actually watched the game with a bunch of Patriot fans, and they were ready to commit suicide.
You talked him off the ledge there?
Well, I wasn't doing a lot of talking. It was deep inside. I was kind of like, yeah. not really. No, but it was, it was a heck of a game, yeah. You know, for, you know, purists.
What do you think about the way Bill's turning that team over after winning a ring with him? He's kind of ripped things up a little bit in the last month. Belichick.
You know, I think, look, he's, in at least my career in coaching, he's done it better than anybody has. And, they've done it the right way and with the right kind of people. You know, I don't know that personnel people around the league would say that's always been the most talented team. I mean, even to look like they had to go in without their starting quarterback the first four games. They've done the best job in football probably for some time. My hat's off to them.
Came in, two-plus years ago with Ryan coming in as a rookie GM. Mm-hmm. In this time, what gives you confidence in him, and where have you seen him grow in that role?
Well, going back to, a lot of the changes, I think, we've had a lot of change, and I think we're better for it. Unfortunately, you can't walk around your chest out about that because of our record in the last 2 years. But, I have total confidence, and I think he's done an outstanding job and will continue to. I understand you have to win, and I finally feel like we're in striking distance.
From your perch, what do you see as his strengths?
Well, his people skills are tremendous. I think his evaluation skills are very good. I think humility is always a great quality in this business. And I've seen that. So, he's the same guy. He hasn't changed. Sometimes people get positions, whatever that position may be, and they change. Just how some people react. And I haven't seen that.
What are your thoughts on San Diego and Oakland being without a team now?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm a little more tied to San Diego because I grew up there. We went out there and played 2 years ago on a Monday night, and I was like, probably my last trip ever going there, in the NFL. And I played in that stadium in college and then coached as an assistant in the 90s. So, I've been in that stadium since 1975. Same locker room, same parking lot, same Friars Road entrance.
That was the problem.
hey, we won a lot of games. I've got some history there. So, I never liked that for really the people of San Diego. And, as far as Oakland, I was with the Raiders both in Oakland and L.A. I know how passionate their fans are, so that's rough. But it is a business, and, it's a little above my pay grade, but, people are going to go where they think's best for them.
Cool, guys.
All right, gang.
Thanks,
all right.
Thank you.